Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When a person goes through confirmation class, as many of you did, when you're instructed in the Christian faith, you may get the impression that this is like any other class that you have in school. There's a blackboard, there's a schedule for instruction, there are books to read, there are things to learn, even things to memorize, and there perhaps is a written test, if not, certainly an oral examination at the end. It looks like any other class that you take in school. It just has a different subject matter. Rather than math or science, here you're learning about the Word of God and about Jesus. And so you might get the impression that it's just like any of these other classes, that you bring in all of the information into your head and you spit it out on a test or at the exam, and then you go away. Having passed the test, one hopes, and you can move on to something else. And in many of the tests that we take in school, it is the case, sadly, that we forget much of what we've learned. And some of it we will never use again. But when it comes to the instruction in the Christian faith, this is not just a set of abstract facts and knowledge about God that we have to memorize and spit out on a test that has no bearing on our life. No, this is something different. This is not just an academic exercise. This is something far weightier than anything else that we learn. This affects your life now and your life for eternity. And it is meant to affect how we live in this world. In our epistle reading from the book of James, we heard that we are not only to be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. The Christian faith is to be lived out in our lives. But, you may respond after hearing our epistle reading, you may respond that, well, I thought that we are not saved by what we do. That hearing comes, or that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That we are saved by what Christ has done. And we hear this message, the good news of Christ Jesus, and it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, that is true. But then you might say, well then, how does this fit in? What we just heard from the book of James, that we are not only to be hearers of the word, but doers also. I thought we aren't saved by what we do. No, we aren't. And the book of James doesn't say that we are saved by what we do. We are indeed saved by grace through faith. Our Lord, by the preaching of His word, creates faith in our hearts. But that faith is a living, busy, active thing. Faith is what saves us. We are saved by faith alone, but faith then produces fruit. We live out that faith, that living faith that God has created in us by His word in good works. Works that serve and love our neighbor. And also we respond in faith, thanksgiving and praise to God. And we could say a great deal about all of the fruits of faith. About all the ways in which we live out the last seven commandments, commandments 4 through 10, where we live in love toward our neighbors, where we support them in their physical needs, where we care for and help them to improve their possessions and income, where we speak well of them and defend them, where we do not covet. We could spend a great deal of time on all of those things, but today the theme is asking our Lord. The theme is prayer, as we see in our gospel reading, where Jesus over and over again uses the word ask, 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 and tells us to ask in His name. In other words, there is something that we do. in response to what Christ has done for us. Because Christ has died on the cross and paid for our sins, and He has buried us with Him in our baptism, He has made us new creatures in Christ, then the life of a Christian who is made new in Christ, who bears the name of Jesus, now can approach our Heavenly Father as Father. We have access to God because of the blood of Jesus. And we use that access. We ask our Heavenly Father because we have been adopted into His family. We have the opportunity and the privilege now to speak with our Heavenly Father, to call upon Him in the day of trouble, and He promises, "I will deliver you and you shall glorify Me." He tells us to ask in the name of Jesus, believing that we are His children because of Jesus, to call upon His name and to believe and trust that He hears us. This is part of what it is to not only be a hearer of the Word, but a doer also, as we hear from the book of James. A person who responds to what Christ has done and believes that I have this status before God as a child of God, and so I speak to God. If you had a child who did not want you, who did not want to be around you, who did not want to speak to you, yet says, "I believe that you exist, I believe that you are my mother or my father," but does not speak to you, does not call you as a mother on Mother's Day or father on Father's Day, and speak with you, you'd say there's probably something wrong here. If that person says, "Well, I believe in my parents, I even say I love them, but I don't show up for any of the family gatherings. I don't go to the family reunions or the birthday parties or whatever else is the practice in our family. And I don't call up my parents. I don't talk to them. I don't communicate with them." You'd say, there's a problem. There's something that needs to be corrected. A Christian who is adopted into the family of God, who is made a child of God, who now is reconciled with their Maker, the one who has made them, who created them, who knows their inmost parts, who knows them even better than a mother or a father does. Person who has this status before God because of the blood of Jesus bestowed on them in their baptism, this person calls out to God. It is part of being a doer of the Word, having heard what Jesus has done, having heard our Lord's command to pray, and having heard His promise that He will hear us and He wants to give us what we ask in His name according to His will. That Christian prays fervently and gladly. That Christian, when in any trouble or difficulty, turns to our Lord first and says, "The Lord is the one who can help me. The Lord is my Father. The Lord is the one whom I want." Just like a little child wants his mother or her mother, calls upon them and wants mom more than anyone else, even dad, wants mom to take care of them, looks to them for everything. So too, children of our Heavenly Father, look to our Lord first for everything. And yes, just like a mother may take their child to the doctor, to have the doctor look at something and take care of something, our Lord may, although He is the one who takes care of all things, He may use someone else to take care of us. And He knows far better than a mother or a father who can take care of us and who can provide for us. Because He is the one who made us, who created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we as Christians, like little children, turn to our Heavenly Father for His care and His protection in any and every difficulty. But let's make this more concrete about and relate it to our daily lives. If you're diagnosed with cancer and you have heard and believed that God is able to heal, You have heard the word that this is true. Then if you believe that word, you will be a doer of the word and pray to him that he will heal you if it is his will. And also pray that you would grow in faith in the midst of your suffering. If you're behind on paying the bills and you have heard and believe that the Lord knows that you need your food and clothing, then you're going to turn to him first. And you're going to pray and ask him to give you your daily bread. You're going to ask for the wisdom to know how to manage what he has given you. If you're beset with guilt over your past, and you've heard and believe that Jesus has died for your sins, you're going to confess those sins in prayer while going to private absolution, and you're going to confess them in prayer while you go to the Lord's Supper, in both places to receive the forgiveness of your sins. If you are in some sort of conflict with another person, and you know that our Lord has died for you and died for the other person, and you believe this, then you're going to pray for forgiveness for where you may have done wrong. And also you're going to pray to him for reconciliation, and that you pray that opportunity may be given to you to make things right. If you've just received a promotion or a raise, you're going to remember that every good gift comes from God, and you're going to give thanks to God for it. Acknowledge him, give him the praise and the glory and the honor as the one who provides for you and has given you this blessing. If you receive some good news or a compliment from someone else, you can give all praise to God and acknowledge that what you have been given and who you are and whatever good you have accomplished is all a gift from God. And the list goes on. The point is that if we have heard the word of what Jesus has done for us, if we have heard the word that our Lord is the one who has made us and has redeemed us and who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is making us holy, is sanctifying us, then we are going to call on him in every trouble. We are going to live dependent on him for all good things. And when we do receive those good things, we are going to give thanks and praise to God for giving them to us. In other words, we are going to live all of our lives dependent on God and acknowledging our dependence on him. We're going to live all our lives now as children of God. We're going to live out the reality that we are, in fact, adopted children of God, and that changes everything. When a person is adopted into a new family, they have a new home, they have a new name, they have a new life, they eat different food. Life changes. And when we are adopted into God's family, now we hear from him his word. And that word changes all of our lives. It is that word by which we are saved and we have this new status. It's all because of what he has done, but now we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, respond in faith. And a part of that is calling on our Lord's name, praying without ceasing, calling to him for all things. But for what do we ask? What should we ask for as children of God? Jesus tells us, ask and you will receive. But he also tells us in our gospel reading to ask the Father in his name. And elsewhere in Scripture, we hear that from 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So what are we supposed to ask for? Do we ask for anything that we want, or that our sinful nature wants? Our Lord tells us that we ask in the name of Jesus. We ask as those who are children of God, and as new creatures in Christ, our new nature in Christ wants what God wants. And we ask in that name, and that means, in part, that we are asking according to God's will. We are asking for what our Lord wants and desires. But how do we know what our Lord wants? Well, we hear it in his word, especially in what he tells us to pray for in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask that his name would be holy among us. That is, that we would speak his word rightly and live according to it. He tells us to ask that his kingdom would come. That is, that we would be given his Holy Spirit and believe God's word and live under him in his kingdom. Then we ask that his will be done. What does this mean? This means that we're asking that everything contrary to God's will, including what our sinful nature wants, would be broken and hindered. And we're asking that what God wants would be accomplished. And what does God want? He desires your salvation. He desires that you be saved, as well as your neighbor and your son and daughter and grandchildren. He also desires that you be given your daily bread, what you need for this body and life. He asks, we are to ask that our sins be forgiven, and also that we forgive others. We ask that we not be led into temptation, we not fall to the devil's schemes and temptations, and also that finally, in summary of everything that we ask for, that we be delivered from evil. This is what our Lord wants us to ask for. But you may ask, well, what about when I am diagnosed with some terminal illness? And I ask the Lord again and again to take this away from me. Does that mean that I will be healed of that disease? One day you will be healed of that disease as a Christian. When you are raised on the last day at the resurrection, you will be healed of that. And maybe the Lord will grant you healing here in this life to live a little longer. Look at the example of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was told by God that he was going to die. And he pleads with the Lord, and the Lord grants him more years of life. In that case, the Lord heard that prayer and he answered. And he gave longer life in this world. But the Lord's answer in other situations may be, I will deliver you from evil by taking you from this world to myself and raising you on the last day. That may be God's answer. And we trust that our Lord knows what is best for us and he will do what is best. Knowing that at the end of the day, our Lord wants to bring us to himself, to save us, to rescue us. And that in this world, as Jesus tells us, we will have tribulation. But in him, he says in our gospel reading, we may have peace and that we can take heart because he has overcome the world. He has paid for sin and death on the cross. He has conquered it. And he has opened the way for us to be reconciled to the Father. And to be children of God, and to call upon his name, and to look forward to the day that we are with him forever. And in the meantime, then, as we hear the word of God, we respond in thanks and praise, and we respond with our requests, just as we do today, when we begin our service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Acknowledge that the only way we can approach God is through the name of Jesus. The name that Jesus has given, being baptized into that name. And then we call upon it again and again and again throughout our service. You could see all of what we say in the service as a prayer to our Lord. Even when we are confessing facts about what he has done in the creed, that is a prayer. Confessing our Lord's word back to him. Having heard it, we confess it back. We are hearers of the word and doers of the word as we confess what our Lord has done and we make our requests. And affirm that, yes, we believe this. The life of a Christian is lived as a child, dependent on our Heavenly Father for his good gifts, and asking him to be faithful to his promises and to give us what he promises. Thanks be to God that this is not just abstract information that our Lord gives us. Or information that we just spit out on a test, but rather what you have learned both in confirmation class But all throughout your life, hearing the Word of God, is our Lord proclaiming to you His Word so that you may, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believe it and be saved, and that that faith that is created in you would be lived out in love toward others, but also in faith toward Him, calling on His name and depending on Him. Thanks be to God that this word, this information, this truth that you hear is powerful, that the Holy Spirit works through it to create and sustain faith, and that it changes our lives and gives us new life in Christ as children of God. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.